Welcome back to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're in the studio today with Tara and Amber and Amanda from Grace, and I'm Janelle. And we've been studying in Matthew 20, 1 through 16 in the parable of the vineyards. And we just got done talking about, or well, not done, but we've been talking about jealousy and the effects that it has on taking away the glory of God and how convicting that is. And Tara told me to do this, so this is my reaction to that. I'm just, meh. It's it's not a good thing.
I wish you could see your face. Oh, yeah, it is a meh. You just, everybody, if you have jealousy in your heart, you just need to go, meh, and then you need to confess your sin and deal with it.
Perfect. We're done for today.
We're done. Enough said. Okay, so we've been going through the parable of the vineyard, and Jesus did this because Peter asked, what about us? We've given it all. And so he's wanting them to learn the lessons. And we've been talking about how the landowner goes out and he gives and calls laborers in, and he gives the same amount to even the one who works only an hour, and he blesses all of them with a denarius, the equivalent of what a Roman soldier would make in a day. For a day laborer to make that, it was huge. It was a big, big deal. And so that's what we've been talking about. We were discussing at the end of last session, what of jealousy? Because the evil eye, we were all in agreement. Every single one of us said that's jealousy. And there is a spirit of also resentment that comes in with that. And so we discuss the fact that jealousy, according to James 3, 14 through 15, is demonic. It's unspiritual and demonic. It is not of God. And so whenever that spirit comes up in us, that evil eye, we can't necessarily put our left thumb to our right palm and our right thumb to our left palm and do the Hebrew or the Jewish tradition of saying, oh, let me be of the seed of Joseph so that I not have that evil eye fall upon me. That won't work. Yeah, it makes me think of cootie, you know, shots, circle, circle, dot, dot. Now I've got my cootie shot kind of thing. Like as if we can stop with a little saying, a curse upon us. In Jesus Christ, we have the power and authority that protects us. And if we're walking and understanding who he is, we will be protected from this. So we're going to look at resentment. And then we'll end this particular series with God's ways are not our ways. Mm-hmm. We just need to get it. His mm-hmm. ways are not our ways. How he chooses to bless is how he chooses to bless. We can't counter it. We just need to receive it and celebrate it. So I'm going to give you guys more scriptures for you to look at, okay? So Amber, I want you to go to Ephesians 4:31. Amanda, I want you to do Hebrews 12:15. Janelle, I want you to do Job 5:2, and I will pull up 1 Peter 2:23, and we're going to examine what resentment, just as we went through and did jealousy, we're going to look at what resentment does and how it affects us as we're doing our kingdom work. Okay, if you have it, go ahead, because they don't have to be in order. Does somebody have it? You have it, Amanda?
You said Hebrews 12, 13?
15.
15. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it may become defiled.
Okay. Roots of bitterness, which is resentment, defiles us. Ow? Right? Yep. Okay. All right. Go ahead. You have Ephesians 4:31.
Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice.
Okay. All right. We're told clearly, put away. Mm-hmm. Get rid of it. It should not be in you. Okay? Because it defiles us. All right. Job 5:2.
Resentment kills a fool, and envy slays the simple.
Okay. It kills us. We're thinking it's going to kill the other person, but it actually kills us. And 1 Peter 2:23 says, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he was suffering, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. Okay, this one here has to do with Jesus' response to resentment and reviling, the bitterness that was sent to him. How did he respond? He did not in return. Is that easy?
Sure, nope. So simple.
Do you know, the minute somebody comes in and attacks someone that I love or attacks me, everything in me wants to go back into attack mode. Yeah. I mean, I'm not there yet. I haven't reached that yet. I may not say anything on the outward, but the inside, God's still doing his work. Okay, so we've seen that jealousy is demonic, and resentment, bitterness, we need to put it away because it defiles and it kills us. And we see that Jesus's model for us is to not engage in the battle. Mm. So right there, there's another principle that we can apply to our life, that as we are dealing with the evil eye, when we're dealing with that which is not of God, that's demonic, that kills, our response needs to be, we don't engage in that. We don't allow ourselves to engage in it because it's not of God. And so we have to ask ourselves, then how do I engage in such a way that I'm not a part of the joining in of the workers that are grumbling and complaining, or a part of the people that are doing the condemnation of the jealousy and resentment? And so what would you say we need to do in order to counter it? Because we can give a holy response.
I mean, Jesus instantly goes into this story when he sees the disciples arguing over who's going to be greater and how can I be greater, and he's like, your heart has a problem. Let me talk to you about this. He doesn't just say, you're being jealous, that's bad. He describes it in a story and shows that his gift is more through that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, then the actual, like, in the story, the landowner that calls them out does do it a little bit more directly.
That's so good. You know, it reminds me, Janelle, you just brought up a memory of Michaela and Grant when they were really little. I can remember the questions of, do you love Michaela more than me, or do you love Grant more than me? And I've probably said this on the radio before, I'm going to say it again, but there's something amazing about love, that if I have learned to love well, that as I have more people added into the circumstances, I can love them as well. Mm. Like, love births love. Love breeds love. Jealousy, resentment, strife, bitterness, hatred, it actually steals and kills. Whereas love is one of those things that the more you give, the more it increases.
It multiplies.
You know, it multiplies. It, there's never a limited amount. And so I love that. And keeping that as a mindful reward that we have, is that because he is a God of love, his love will keep increasing. I don't have to be jealous of God's generosity to Amber, because God has generosity for me. And because he's generous to you, I can trust he's generous to me. How cool is that, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And but why do we think that we can't trust that? He's unchanging. He is always the same.
I think it's partly because we are so used to living in this world where things do change all the time. And that's the reality around us.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it harder for us to remember that God is unchanging and that his promises remain constant yesterday, today, and forever.
That's good.
Yeah, we project ourselves onto other people. Like when your kids ask you, well, who do you love more, this person or me? It's because they think of themselves as loving someone more than another, because in your childish mind, it's like, well, right now, I love this person more. And it's hard to wrap your mind around that it could be different and better than what you have.
That's good. That's good. I used to tell them, I love Michaela and her Michaela-ness. I can't love you the way I love Michaela. Michaela's Michaela. Mm-hmm. I love you and your Grant-ness. I cannot love Michaela and Grant-ness, because you're Grant. You are so incredible the way God has made you. I can't do that. Mm-hmm. So in your ness, I have to love the way I love in your ness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's huge. Mm-hmm. And God has that same love for us. So in your Janelle-ness and your Amanda-ness and you and your Amber-ness and me and my Tara-ness, it's the generosity of what is needed for me to most affect the kingdom of what he's given me to work on. Mm. It's huge. And it's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I need somebody to look up Isaiah 55:8-9. And we're going to look at, because essentially this comes down to the landowner saying, my ways are not your ways. Oh, who are you to question this? I made an agreement with you. It was just, I choose to be generous. I can be generous. It's my stuff. And so understanding his ways are not our ways. You got it? Yep. Okay, go ahead.
Isaiah 55:8-9. Mm-hmm. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts.
That's so good. Okay, what do you take away about God for this?
He's so other.
I love
not
that.
Super descriptive, world. Right?
No, I love that. I've said that forever. I love the word other for God. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
He just has, like, when I think of the word higher, like, he just has such a better viewpoint than, I like to think of God has a better viewpoint than we do. So a lot of times we're looking at things straight on, but he can see things as a whole, and he knows, obviously, he knows far more than we do. And
This is good.
It's 55:8-9, right?
55, yeah, okay. Isaiah 55:8-9. Okay, good. I put down, as I was looking through this, okay, he's infinite. I'm finite, and that's fitting in with what Amber said. I mean, he looks at the whole big picture of history and time and people, of what is being orchestrated that I can't begin to comprehend, because I'm set in my little time space continuum of Terra-ness right here, but he's above it all, and he can see what he's orchestrating. Okay, so trusting his infinite wisdom, just as I am calling upon him for wisdom, I need to trust his infinite wisdom in the circumstances. Okay, the second thing was, he knows it from beginning to end. I have a girlfriend gave this to me right out of college, and it's a little like picture frame, and it has a poem in it on the tapestry of life. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that, but it talks about that if you flip the tapestry over, it's ugly.
Yeah.
You know, all the stitching and the knots and everything, and that, but when you flip it to the correct side where the picture is, it's beautiful. We oftentimes can only see the back side of what God's working, because we can't see the big picture of what he's created in the tapestry of our life. And because he knows the beginning and the end and what's going to happen that he's orchestrating. So we have to trust Alpha and Omega, right? So not only is he infinite, he's Alpha and Omega, and recognizing that in him. And the grasping of his wisdom. It's just beautiful. It's one of those things that's like, why would we think that we have it down, you know, when God is so big? Mm-hmm. He's so other. And he's wanting the disciples to grasp this. All right, so I put down some lessons we could learn from this whole parable as we look at closing out this particular session. What are some things that you guys think are be truths that you're going to take with you?
Go ahead. Like we were talking about your-ness. I mean, I really like that story that you shared about your kids. And like we're all different in our characteristics and the gifts that God has given us. And so he's going to treat us all differently, or treat us the same in love, but he's going to give us different gifts in where we're at and where when we can use them to further his kingdom. And so we can't compare ourselves to another person and say, why is this person given this gift and I'm not? Because you don't know their situation and how they're going to utilize it.
Mm.
And so
that's good.
We just have to look at the big picture and how we all can come together as a team and as the body of Christ
His kingdom. And if we had your mindset of what you just said, the body of Christ and as a team, and I'm as a worker watching somebody at 5 p.m. handed a denarius, if I am honestly thinking about the team, I'd be going, look, he got a denarius and he only did 1 hour. Mm-hmm. My mind would be how that blesses the team.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say something similar, just like to check myself when I envy, because instead of being like, I'm so envious and taking glory from God in that way, there should be a reverse intentional, look what God has done. God is good. Calling that out and bringing attention to
that's
that.
That's good. That's good. How about you, Amanda?
Yeah, going along the same lines of whenever I do find myself being more in the negative and being more in jealousy and all of that, just remembering that God is the one that I've put my faith in. God has everything in control. And just thinking back on all of the blessings that he's given me already and knowing that he's not done with me yet and that there are still plenty of things that I can be thankful for and just actively being reminded of those.
That's good. That's good. As I was looking at this, I think I was blessed by God's generosity and just taking the time to focus in on how he is so generous. And who am I to argue with his generosity? You know, to celebrate it, to just take the time and just celebrate the goodness of God and how he pours out on his children. It's huge. I wrote down some of these. These are principles I took from many different commentators, and I didn't write specifics because they're all, it's a combination of many. We need to understand all of our service is already due to God. Everything we do belongs to him. So, yeah, enough said. The ability to serve God is the gift of his grace. Okay? The call to serve God is the gift of his grace. Every opportunity to serve is a gift of his grace. Being in the right state of mind to do God's work is a gift of his grace. And successful service is because of the gift of his grace. We cannot claim anything. It has nothing to do with us. It all comes down to he is good, he is gracious, and he gives grace. Jesus came as grace so that we didn't have to live in the law. We don't have to live in the pounding of rules and doing. We can live in the grace and celebrate the goodness of what God does in our behalf. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful, and it's a gift. And so we need to have in our mind the gift of grace and look in circumstances as we're watching people and as we're interacting and serving. How can we celebrate the gift of grace and what's happening? Even in our dark hours, we can celebrate the fact that he gives us peace and wisdom. And so we can celebrate that and that his infinite wisdom, he pours those into us even when it's hard. That's a gift of grace he gives us in those moments as well. We're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts. It was a fun series. It was great to have Amber and Amanda with us today. And glad you guys were here. We missed our regular Sandy, Tanya, and Beth. God bless.